I'm alive. Next. Happy Easter. Next. Eat this in remembrance of me. Whoa! Jesus.
Hey, Drew, what's going on here?
Oh, nothing. Just celebrating Easter like we do every year. But this year, I added a stylish beard. Yeah. Where's yours?
Okay, I don't understand. Why are you handing out candy?
Well, how else are we supposed to get people excited about today?
What?
Oh, no offense, but it's just kind of the same as last year, you know? I mean, it's the same song, same sermon. It's all the same.
You do realize I rose from the dead, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
And you have that same power today. You have that same power every day. Why aren't you totally excited about this?
Listen, because Easter, it's just another time for us to hear about how you raised and conquered death.
Because I've conquered death, you've conquered death. Because I'm alive, you have life.
Listen, let me break it down for you. I'm happy this way. I get to dress up. I hand out candy. And that's good enough for me. I mean, I could get all excited about Easter, but honestly, tomorrow, I just go back to my normal life. Nothing's changed. You're kind of making a lot of hype out of nothing. But don't worry. We'll do it all again for you next year. Oh, you know what? I got a ham in the oven. Take over for me. Next.
Easter could have changed your life, but sadly, it only changed your day.
Huh. Well, good morning again, and I would like to wish all of you a blessed Easter, or perhaps more accurately, a blessed Resurrection Sunday, because that's in fact what it is. And if we were to ask several people what this day meant to them, if we were to take a survey in the streets of what Easter Sunday means to them, we would get a variety of answers. From some, it's a day to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. For others, it's a day to attend church simply because it's tradition. For others, it's time to gather with family or pass out candy. So we get all this variety of understanding of what this day really represents. For Christians, this is the day. This is our day. I mean, there's 365 days in the year, and this is the day, Resurrection Sunday, the day of hope, the day of new beginnings, and the fulfillment of the promise of eternal life. That's, at the very least, what this day represents. And only when we truly grasp that, only when we truly understand all that it means, will we then be able to truly celebrate the resurrection and understand what it would be like if we did not have this day. If Christ did not die and was not resurrected, we wouldn't have this day. And what would that mean? And where would we be? So, as he said in the video, this day can change your life. And sadly for many, it only changes their day. It's just a different Sunday, something to do something a little different. And today, of course, brings it, we would call the culmination of Holy Week. Palm Sunday last week and Easter Sunday are kind of bookends to the Holy Week, and Holy Week begins with the observation of Palm Sunday, remembering Christ's triumphant ride into Jerusalem and crowds hailing him as King and Messiah. Then there are some that call, what they call Sad Wednesday. There's a couple different names for Wednesday, talking about the sinful Wednesday when Judas began to think about betraying Christ. Maundy Thursday is a day when many remember the washing of the disciples' feet by Jesus, the institution of communion at the Lord's Supper, the agony of Christ in the garden, and the betrayal of Christ, of course, by Judas. And Good Friday, of course, is when we remember the crucifixion and all that it represents. But today we come to the day. Today we come to celebrate all that it meant and all that it does, and I do mean celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important. Today is the day. On the cross, we know that Jesus proclaimed, "It is finished." If you look at the words of the cross and all that happened, at one point he said, "It is finished." And today we celebrate that what he said was and is true. It is finished. It is accomplished. The finished work of the cross accomplishes so many things in our life, not the least of which is our salvation, and is all to our benefit. The finished work of the cross, at the very least, proclaims that the devil is defeated, Christ is victorious, death has lost its sting, and hope is restored. That's what it represents. This day, the Old Testament promises of the Messiah are fulfilled, that the Messiah, the Savior, was coming, and this day reassures us that it's been fulfilled. This day, above all others, this day matters. Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians. He said this, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or who have died." And the good news is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proven. We, of course, have the Bible's word for it, but there are many people, several people, that have looked at it and said, "I don't believe the Bible," and went about historically to disprove the resurrection, only to find out that it was proved, and they, in fact, became believers. So we can rejoice that the resurrection is proven. And as believers in Christ, those of us that know Christ, this day represents one thing. We are resurrection people. We are resurrection people. We are people that believe in the resurrection. We have hope. We have nothing to fear. We live and move in victory because the Bible proclaims that. Resurrection people, moving in victory. At least we should. The Bible tells us we should do that. Only we don't, at least not every day. When we're reminded about Christ's victory, when we remember that his victory is our victory, when we're assured he is on our side, we come around, we get encouraged, we get hope restored. But are those days sometimes where we're not walking in victory? When we're reminded, we get there, but the problem sometimes is getting there. The problem is living this resurrected life that Christ wants you to live on a daily basis. The problem is living there where Jesus wants us to be. The problem is getting there and staying there. We get there when we're reminded, but staying in there sometimes is a struggle. The truth is that we celebrate this day. We celebrate Easter Sunday, but we live in a Good Friday world. Good Friday is a day consumed with death, and our world is really still a Good Friday world. Good Friday is a day of injustice. Good Friday is evil personified. Good Friday is a day that Jesus spoke of when he said the world hated him and hates those that love him. We live in a Good Friday world. Our world is consumed with evil. Our world is filled with violence. Our world is abundant with injustice. And darkness still hates the light. That's the world we live in. We live in a Good Friday world, but we are Easter people. We are resurrection people, and we need this day to remind us of that. Precisely because it is a Good Friday world, we have our struggles. We have those days that come along and they're difficult, and by faith, we need to move out of that Good Friday living and come into Easter and stay there. And there really is a way to accomplish that. And to find out, we find out it depends on how we behave all the other days of the week, especially one particular day. Now, I spoke of Holy Week, and I mentioned several days in it, and one of those days that I did not mention is important also, and we know that days have meanings to us. In our everyday world, we recognize certain days above others. For example, we don't really speak of Monday in a very celebratory tone. Mondays are yuck. Mondays are a hard start. Mondays are difficult. If we're having a difficult day and a tough start, we know why. It's Monday. We just know that. We understand that. Monday is the opposite of the weekend. Now, the weekend, that's a different story. Depending on your work schedule or how you work, but for most people, the weekend is great. I mean, weekends come along, especially Saturday. Saturday is your day. Saturday is the day that you get to do whatever you need to do or want to do, and for most people, that's what it is. And when we think of the Bible's account of the Holy Week, it doesn't say anything about Saturday. It doesn't talk about Saturday. And yet Saturday is there. It's right there just before Sunday. And when you study the account of the death, burial, and then resurrection of Christ, and you watch it, all the people's reactions, have you ever wondered what the disciples did on Saturday? Saturday has a lot to do with where they were at on Sunday. What they did on Saturday has a lot to do with where they were at on Sunday. For the disciples, Saturday was a terrible day. I mean, for the disciples, all hope was lost. The impossible had happened. The promised Messiah is dead. It wasn't a rumor. They saw it. They were witnesses. There was no denying it. Christ was dead. He was in the tomb. It's over. All hope is gone. Saturday is a tough day. A Saturday like that is a hard day to get through. Those Saturdays will destroy you. We live in a Good Friday world that is dark. Darkness still hates light. But in a Good Friday world, we all have our Saturdays. We have those difficult days where it's hard to get through. Those days we struggle in our faith. Those days when we question what we've been taught and what we have believed. We struggle in those Saturdays. The Saturdays in our life are the days where we don't want to go on. We're not sure we can go on. The Saturdays in our life is where our faith hits a wall. And that's why it's so important what we do on the Saturdays of our life. We have an idea of what one disciple did on that Saturday. We can tell by where he was at on Sunday. Max Lucado writes about him in the book he wrote, He Chose the Nails. He writes about John. He writes, John didn't know on that Friday what you and I now know. He didn't know that Friday's tragedy would be Sunday's triumph. John would later confess that he did not yet understand from the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. He didn't know that Friday's tragedy would be Sunday's triumph. He lived and went through that Saturday. I've often said that we are blessed that we stand on this side of the cross. Meaning every one of us was born and raised and grew up in a world that knew about the resurrection. We weren't waiting for the Messiah. We weren't promised he was coming. He had come and he had delivered, and we grew up knowing that Christ died and was resurrected. Only choice was and is still to believe. And it's when we keep our eyes on the resurrection that we get through the Saturdays in our life. When we focus on the resurrection and all the hope that comes of the resurrection, we get through the Saturdays. Whatever John did on Saturday, it carried him through to Sunday. Whatever he did that day, that took him through. For one, he didn't run. He stayed. He stayed. And because he didn't run, he was around to see the Sunday miracles. Sometimes you just have to stay. Sometimes you just have to hang in there. The Good Fridays of this world will bring with them the Saturdays of this world. The Saturdays are when Good Friday sinks in. The Saturdays are the days of doubt. Saturdays are the days where we don't think we're going to get through it. The Saturdays are the days we have to remember who Jesus was and is. And Scripture confirms that Jesus is the Father's answer to sin and decay in this Good Friday world. Christ is the answer to the Good Friday world. Look at the Old Testament and the Israelites. The Israelites got used to living in a Good Friday world. That was their life for a great many of them. We study a period in time where the Israelites had lived in Egyptian bondage for so long, it was all they knew. Doubt and bondage. They lived there for so long, children had been born and raised in slavery, in bondage. That's all they knew was this difficult Saturday world. At one point, God comes along and he says, it's time for them to come out of bondage. And he calls on a man named Moses to be his servant. And we know the story. Moses comes along a burning bush and he meets God in it. And we always say, wouldn't it be wonderful to have this burning bush experience? To meet this burning bush and literally have the voice of God speak to us and tell us what to do, but maybe not so much when we realize what may happen. Moses meets God and God tells Moses to go and set his people free. And Moses asked God two questions. And you have to understand something, what God was asking of him. He said, set my people free. He wasn't talking about some little, you know, quick army raid where 6 or 7 people were captive. There were 2 million people that were in bondage, and the whole entire Egyptian economy rested on these slave people. If these people were taken free, the whole economy would collapse. And these are the people that are in power. He says, oh, go set my people free. And Moses asked him 2 questions. Who am I? And who are you? Moses knew in and of himself he couldn't accomplish what God was asking of him. That's a good answer. It's a good question. Moses knew that he needed God. We always need to know and remember that we need God. Period. This day, we celebrate the fact that we need God. And Moses couldn't see in and of himself how he could ever accomplish what God was asking of him. And he even struggled with doing it with God's help. Now, the first part, God understood. Moses said, how? I don't talk well. I mean, how, you're asking the impossible. I mean, these people are enslaved for all these years, and the Egyptians are in control, and how am I going to do this? Who am I to do this? And God understand that. But when Moses began to wrestle with doing it with God's help, that was another question. God wasn't pleased with Moses not having confidence in himself with God's helping. Now, in time, we see Moses growing in confidence in God. We see Moses learning of God's grace, learning of God's power in his life, learning of using him in that position. And we see Moses grow greatly in this wonderful relationship he had with God. And today reminds us that you and I can do the same. That we can come to know this God and on a daily basis grow in our relationship with him, that we become so confident of his presence and his help and his reassurance that he's there with us. When we step out in faith, we learn that God catches us. So Moses asked, who am I and who are you? Basically, he's saying, Lord, you're asking me to go and tell your Saturday people that a new day is coming. He said, when I ask him this, who should I say told me this when they ask your name? He said to him, who am I and who are you? Who should I say told me this when they ask your name? God had the perfect answer. And you see, these folks, as Israelites, had grown up so long in the Egyptian world that they began to adopt the Egyptian world. And it was a world full of many false gods. And all had gods for all sorts of things. And they had adopted all this. And they said, okay, Moses is saying, Lord, you're telling me that you are God and to go do this. Who am I going to tell them you are? How do you fit in with this mix? And God has the perfect answer. Exodus 3:14 and following. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. That's you and I, folks. And God was telling Moses that he has been, and he shall continue to be. That's really what the wording there in I am means. And he said he's real, he exists. And what God was to the earlier Israelites, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he was to the Saturday Israelites. He said, you know that God that your forefathers talked about, the God that rescued them, the God that did all these things, I am that God. The God of promise, the God of hope, the God that delivers. The powerful, glorious God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's really what he's saying, and I am. I am the same that I've always been. I am and I will be there. I can accomplish everything that you need. I am your healer. I am your savior. I am your Lord. I am your confidence. I am your direction. I am your deliverance. I am. He's a dependable God, a trustworthy God, and a faithful God. And even when you have your Saturdays of this Good Friday world, he's still there. He's still there. Even when the Saturdays of your life are real, when the most horrible thing has happened, when you're overwhelmed, he's still there, and he's not overwhelmed. And when you're somewhere between yesterday's tragedy and tomorrow's triumph, remind yourself that God is a resurrection God. And when you're somewhere between yesterday's tragedy and tomorrow's triumph, remind yourself that when you know Christ, you are a resurrection child. When you know Christ, you're an Easter person in a Good Friday world. John remembered who he was and who Christ was in spite of the Saturday of his life. He didn't run, he stayed. Scripture tells us that John took Jesus' mother into his home straight from the crucifixion, and she stayed there from then on point. From the cross, he took Mary into his home, and he stayed. Because he stuck through it, he was around to see Sunday's miracle. When he was told the tomb was empty, John and Peter took off running, and John outran impetuous Peter. When you feel like you're in the Saturday of this life, when you feel like the Saturday of your life, don't give up. We live in a Good Friday world, but we're Easter people. We're resurrection people. We believe in the resurrection. We know it's been proven, and we embrace it. There are words that describe the aftermath of Good Friday. Words like hopeless, desperate, grieving, needy, broken, lost, forsaken, hurting, fearful, the list goes on. And those words are very apt today for the things that come along in our life. And God tells us that when we're feeling all those things or any of those things, that he's still with us. When we need him, he is still the great I am. He's there. And it proves it on this Resurrection Sunday that all things are met. And that's what's so wonderful about Easter morning. It's a reminder that God fulfills his promises. It's a reminder that wherever you find yourself in life, in whatever challenges comes along, that God fulfills his promises. It's also a reminder that we need God. This day comes along and it reminds us that we need God. It is through the cross of Christ that God meets our needs. It is because of the cross of Christ and his resurrection we can stand before God forgiven. Because Easter is not just a day to celebrate eggs and bunny rabbits and candy and whatever. Easter is a day to embrace the death, burial, and thankfully the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's because of the cross of Christ that our needs can be met. It's because of the cross of Christ, as I said, we can stand before God forgiven. Because that's what the cross says to you this morning, that you are forgiven. The cross says to you that you need God. We all need God, and we come to realize that, and that you are forgiven despite what you've ever done. Regardless of whatever you've done in your life, Jesus said, I got you covered. I'm here for it. When you know Jesus and you invite him in your life, receive him as your Lord, and then you begin to know this peace of God that Scripture said passes all understanding. And this Resurrection Sunday, this day that we can say we're resurrection people, say we know the peace of God. And we find that in the finished work on the cross, that the cross brings both peace with God, that our sins are forgiven, we're washed in the blood, we can stand before God as if we've never sinned, and we can learn the peace with God, and we can know the peace of God, because there's a difference. We can have the peace with God knowing we're saved, we're washed in the blood, we've accepted Christ, and we're going to heaven, but we can walk in our life in the Saturday world and not have the peace of God. And when we get our eyes back on the resurrection and the promise and the fulfillment of the promise, we get the peace of God. John Stott wrote a classic book, The Cross of Christ, and he said, I could never myself believe in God if it were not for the cross. In the real world of pain, how could one worship a God who was immune to it? Think about that. We have a Good Friday world that brings the Saturdays of the Good Friday realization. We have pain in this life. We have difficulties. We have challenges. We have disappointments. We have things that break our heart. We have things that we don't understand. And how could we worship a God that stood totally immune to all of that? Has no idea what you're going through. And Jesus said, I've been there. I know exactly what you're feeling. I know exactly what you're experiencing because I've been there. And therefore, we can worship a God that said, I understand that I am the same today as I was yesterday, and I will be tomorrow when you need me. Christianity is real because Jesus is real. He lived in the real world. He really suffered and died. Life in Christ brings us hope in this Good Friday world. Life in Christ brings hope for the hopeless, healing for the hurting, and restoration for your soul, and peace with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who said, I am. Peace with that God that has always been and always will be, and came for you and I. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we call it Easter, the day we call Easter. But this day is meant to change your life, not just your day. This day is not just to have a different day. We dress up a little more. We celebrate spring. We get together with family. All that's good. But this day is meant to be far more than just a different Sunday. This day is meant to change your life. I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward if they would, please. You can stand with me if you would. You know, this day really means so many things. This day is such a wonderful day to embrace, and as I said, that this is our day as believers. I called it last week, somebody kind of chuckled about it, and I said, this is our Super Bowl of Sundays, and I don't mean to make light of it, but you know, for the football, Super Bowl is everything. It's all inclusive. This is the day, and for Christians, this is our day. If we didn't have this day, we would have nothing. And so as we stand here this morning, when we know Christ, we are resurrection people. We're Easter people. If we stand here this day and don't know Christ, we don't have that peace with God. We don't have that knowledge and assurance that he's there with us. If you don't know Jesus, if you never received him as your Lord of your life, today is your day. If you've never embraced Christ and never said, Lord, I need you, today's your day. When I came to the Lord many, many years ago, I'm struck that today I stand here. This is my 19th Easter as a pastor, meaning I've just finished 19 years. We started pastoring 19 years ago. We started 20th year, and several years, many years before that, I accepted Christ. I had no idea what he was going to do in my life. I didn't understand all that I kind of understand now, and I didn't know what his future was planned. My point to you is this, that I just knew that I needed God. That's all you need to know this morning. That if you've never accepted Christ, you just need to know that you need Christ. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ died for you so you don't have to, that you can live for an eternity with him. Wherever you find yourself this morning, if you've never known Christ, today's your day. Bow your heads with me as we pray, please. With your heads bowed, Romans 1:16 tells us, Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. If you don't know Jesus, and this day you'd like to ask him to come into your life, all you're saying is, I want to start taking a step. I told Christ I'd walk with you one day at a time. If you're willing to say that this is the day you'd accept Christ, slip your hand up. Raise your hand if this is the day you say, I want Jesus in my life. If you've known Christ in the past and you feel like I've backslidden, I'm just not following God like I used to, and I really want to follow him, I really want to serve him, I want to rededicate my life, if that's you, raise your hand as well. Thank you, Father, for those hands. Let's worship our God together this morning.